Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey, hey, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 98. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Stop the presses. Hold the phone, dude.
Dude?
I've got some amazing news. Hear ye, hear ye.
Extra, extra.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. I have the biggest news this side of the Titanic sinking, dude.
And
are you ready?
I am ready.
Lindsay Lohan made it to her deposition yesterday, and... Oh, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Talk to you next week, dude.
Dude, we're up 3-0 on the Red Wings.
3-0.
Dude.
Did you ever even imagine this was possible?
I did. I had a dream.
I had a dream.
But it wasn't about the Sharks winning. It was about hamburgers.
I went to Red Lobster.
Dude.
Oh, you mean
hamburgers.
Oh, I thought you meant like the other. I thought you meant like you went into In-N-Out or something.
I did. I did mean that, actually, but I was kind of hoping.
Well, unfortunately, Nicholas Vahlin still not playing. Still listed as a lower body injury in the game report. So
we're not really missing him so much right now.
That's true. I almost said unfortunately that's true because, you know, I really want the chance to use all my Nicholas Vahlin related sound effects.
That's who we have all the... Do him anyways. That's right. You know, it doesn't matter if he's not playing or not. We've always got Rob Blake.
Yeah.
I love that Rob Blake. Love Rob Blake.
Today's like a celebration.
It is.
But I don't want to jump the gun. At the same time, like I feel kind of one way, I'm like giddy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm like, you know, I feel like a 15-year-old girl who's been asked to prom by a 17-year-old guy.
Nice.
And she's all excited. But then I also feel like my parents are going to come in and say, no, I can't go.
Right, right. Because he's going to show up with like a fifth of Jack Daniels in the front of his car and they're going to notice and then they're going to refuse.
That's right. And then I'm going to be left at home sitting alone watching the Gilmore Girls again.
Long tortured analogy short, the series ain't over.
No, it's
right?
Not over.
No.
If any team can come back from 3-0, we're looking at them.
Yes.
And we still have a lot of hockey to go here, and it would not shock anyone if the Red Wings won tomorrow and if they won Saturday and they made this a huge comeback.
Right.
We should fully expect it, but I'm still excited.
I'm still very ecstatic is the way I would say it is. I'm so happy we're in this position. I say I am cautiously confident. I wouldn't say it's in the bag. The best thing about it is the Sharks have acted exactly the way I feel, which is they know they have more work to do. They're not going to take anything for granted. This is a team, and this is a phrase that we've used to explain other teams throughout the season. This is a team that doesn't have any quit.
No.
This team does not give up. This team never gives away the game. They never do an Andre Agassi and tank the set and go on to the next one.
Right.
They say, okay, we're down by two. That means we just got to get two. We're down by one. That means we got to get one. And they've played that way this entire postseason. They haven't let up. They've never had a stinker of a game.
It was close. It was on the border.
It was.
We were real close to laying a big egg last night when it got to 3-1 and the floodgates could have opened 4-1, 5-1, and it could have been a laugh or real easy. But they didn't go down. And watching that first period after the Detroit scored... And, you know, the Zetterberg goal, which it being kicked in, is one thing. And, you know, I think we've talked about it a little bit in terms of it. It's a pretty obvious kicking motion, right?
I mean, usually a lot of those calls can be kind of on the border. It's usually kind of hard to lift your skate while you're skating, especially if you're putting any sort of weight on it. And if you're around the net, you got to put weight on both skates or else you're going to get knocked off your feet. The fact that Zetterberg had the wherewithal to actually lift, I think, his heel and sort of direct the puck in, I mean, that's pretty much the textbook definition of quote-unquote distinctive kicking motion.
Right. I've seen a lot of Broadway shows, and that was a kick.
That was a kick, yes.
That was a kick, for
good
sure.
Good, dude. Yes.
Chorus line.
You've done a few in your day as well.
I have, and, you know, that was as good a kick. I will sign him up for a advanced Jazz 2 dance class.
Nice.
Because, nice job. But the only thing is, Zetterberg, point your toes.
He really does, yeah.
It was embarrassing.
You don't flex your feet on
No. You point your toes. So, Sharks dodge a little bit of a bullet there.
Right.
Refs got that call right because the Sharks paid them. And
of course, they're
because the Sharks are bribing the refs, and
everyone knows. This.
And the Red Wings should be winning the series because the Sharks are have bought off the refs. Because clearly, there's a West Coast bias now, right?
More on that in a moment. But let's continue with the game.
Please hang on. Please. That's yes. all I could think. You know, don't let this get away from you.
Get out of this period.
When it was 1-0, it's like, okay, if we can get out of here 1-0, it's going to be okay. Then it was 2-0. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Man,
I'm like, one more goal and we're cooked.
One more and this is it. You know, you got to hang on. Then Seto.
Yeah.
Seto, out of nowhere, makes it 2-1, dude.
Yeah. Good goal. Very timely. Right at the end of the period. That's a momentum changer. Of course, the Wings went on and scored another goal. It's 3-1. The end of two, so second period hasn't exactly been the Sharks' forte here.
No, and Torrey Mitchell was almost run out of town on a rail, as they would say. You know,
tarred and feathered.
That's right. You know, Torrey Mitchell with that pass right up the gut, that horrible, horrible giveaway in his own zone, leading to a Red Wings goal. Not good stuff, dude. That could have been the turning point in terms of turning for the worse. Mm-hmm. The Sharks were still able to hang in there, dude. And they made the third period, their period, which they have in every game so far. And Joe Thornton scores, which is a miracle in itself.
Absolutely.
And then Logan Couture, Logan my Logan.
That's right.
Logan Couture scores 3-3 game. Going into overtime, what was the feeling here at the Petty House?
The feeling was the Sharks are better than even money shot to win this game. And if they do, that's really going to be a very difficult pill for Detroit to swallow because they had this game in hand. They were up 2 in the third period and they lose. So my money was on the Sharks. I wasn't giddy and expecting them to win because I haven't felt like that at all this series. I was just so happy that they had gotten there. And then I was hoping that the momentum would continue to ride that way. And a broken line change leads to a 2-on-1. And Joe Thornton asserts his dominance again, really seeming to prove to everybody or just show everybody, listen, you know, I can play playoff hockey too. Because his goal was definitely a part of that. Goes to the front of the net, turns around, wrist shot, goes in. Perfect pass in overtime. I mean, think of the pressure. It's overtime. It's 2-on-1. You're against Brian Rafalski. You're at the Joe. You got the puck on your stick, and you got two guys back checking as hard as they can. What does he do? Perfect pass, perfect speed, right on Marlowe's stick, and he puts it in the goal. I mean, talk about a clutch play. Amazing. Just amazing.
I was bummed because I was really torn at that point. It's getting closer and closer to 8 o'clock, so...
Idol's coming
on. I know,
on.
Dude. I had flipped the channel
because
I wanted to see what Crystal Bower Sox was going to sing. I missed the goal.
Dude.
I missed it.
Dude, I can't believe you missed
it. Dude, I'm just kidding. You kidding?
Okay.
Dude, I mean, what are you kidding?
You wanted to see what Lee DeWise was singing.
That's right.
Everybody knows this.
I didn't turn the channel. That's crazy. Now, if it had been 9 o'clock and it was lost.
Now
we're talking something else.
Smoke
now we're talking
Monster,
something
blah, blah, blah. Never watched that show. Who cares?
I jumped up and down and screamed. I got so many phone calls, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we were kind of watching the game in different times here. You were a little bit behind me. So I was not able to reach out and touch someone.
Right.
If you know what I mean, dude.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my. So we weren't able. Oh, yeah. We weren't able to talk about the game until this morning, actually, because I wasn't sure when you'd finish it. I didn't want to be that person.
Yeah, to ruin
you know,
it
who,
for me.
Who texted or called and ruined it for you. I refused, dude.
Thanks, dude.
But what an outstanding effort and going above and beyond. I think I gave the Sharks a 25% chance of winning last night.
Well, they did it.
They sure did. And so if you were going to put odds on the Sharks winning game 4, percentage-wise, what are you giving it?
I'll go 40. You know, Detroit's going to, it's obviously must win, and it for real, it's a must win game for them. I even saw something in the news or on Puck Daddy or something about, could this be Nicklas Lidström's last game? Dun, dun, dun. You know, that kind of thing.
No.
You never know. The guy's 40. I mean, he's still playing awesome.
No way.
But still, that would be sort of an extra rallying point. Do we want him to go out like this? Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. Who cares? But I mean,
he's got at least 5 more years with the Chicago Wolves. There's no way.
No, there's no way he's retiring. But it's... Again, it's one of those things that could be used to sort of, you know, rally the troops in a way.
Okay.
Chris Draper could be another one who could be retiring soon. And, you know, these kind of guys, Chris Draper actually on the team in 94 when the Sharks beat him. So, you know, it's
so was Lidstrom.
Yeah, and I think was no. Osgood? No, not Osgood though.
No,
not Osgood yet. Yeah, those two guys were both there. So I think they're going to find a way and pull it together and probably win the game, and hopefully we'll see the clincher on Saturday here at the Tank. But you know, these Sharks have been scrappy. They're perfect since the exorcism. There's no way I can jinx it.
That's no coincidence.
There's no.
No, there's you cannot jinx the expulsion of a demon.
That's true.
You Ed can't. Belfour is gone. He go haunt someone else.
That's right. Maybe haunt the Swedish league.
Maybe he has.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he's made his way over to the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Perhaps
could be.
They are feeling the hurt of Eddie the Eagle.
Because he did play there. Didn't he?
No.
Really? Who am I missing? I thought he did.
Played in Chicago and Dallas. And, oh, somewhere else. Somewhere else.
Florida?
Yes.
Thanks, dude.
Florida.
All right. Anyway, so, but we're getting past ourselves. Something we talked about before. I just, you know, maybe against my better judgment, I was reading some Red Wings blogs here. Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
That was a poor choice.
Reading some posts and comments. You know, I do want to see like how everybody sort of responds. You know, I definitely wanted to read Mile High Hockey, for instance, when, you know, during the Colorado series and see, you know, what it's like on the other side of the coin. And it's really strange because, well, maybe not strange, but it's really a little disappointing that there seems to be a lot of external blaming on the Wings fan side. And maybe I'm just only reading the most vocal and obnoxious of critics, but it seems like, oh, the refs jobbed us. The Wings are obviously the better team and they should be winning this series. And only because the Sharks are a bunch of divers and the refs give them a bunch of calls is the only reason why they're winning this series. And it's just like, you know, I didn't talk that much about this on the podcast because I don't really want to bring that much attention to it. And maybe it's just a case of a couple guys, you know, being too loud for everybody else. But it's like, really? That's how you're going to take this? I mean, you know, it's not the fact that you guys are giving up pucks behind the net and you're getting out-muscled and Howard isn't playing very well, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, really? That's where you want to fall back to? I just don't get it. I don't understand that mentality that you're just, oh, you know, as if that's suddenly going to make it better. Oh, the NHL suddenly doesn't want the NHL's most storied franchise of the past 15 years to suddenly lose now? That doesn't make sense.
It's like saying Ishtar didn't do well at the box office because there was a storm out that weekend, not because the movie sucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Dude, well, it rained.
Come on.
There was some hail in Kansas City.
This is a weak argument, and it's from fans who lately haven't had to feel the agony of defeat very much,
right.
You know?
Well, so, they did lose in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay, but you made it that far.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And they've had a pretty sweet life and a pretty yeah. sweet run as sports fans right now.
If you've become a Red Wings fan anytime after 1989, you're pretty set.
Yeah, you've had a good run. And you know what? Your run's not over. And don't give up and don't jump off the bus yet. And don't start blaming everything else. And it will be sad for me to see the Red Wings fans, you know, oh, let's fire Mike Babcock. Let's, you know,
trade Datsyuk.
Yeah, Brian Rafalski needs a toupee. That's what's missing.
Yeah,
you know, if he had hair, he'd be better.
Right.
You know, the differences in the series are that the Sharks are playing with total determination and they refuse to quit. And Detroit's mental lapses have cost them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've committed penalties. We've committed penalties. Did the Sharks score on the power play last night?
No.
No. So then what's the problem?
Yeah, right.
What's the problem?
And I think a lot of people, after seeing the replay, and I even read a story about how Logan Couture asked Ray Ferraro if he closed the puck in the crease that led to the penalty shot by Zetterberg. And Ferraro said no. He just, you know, it's legal to push the puck underneath the goalie's pads. That's what Couture thought he did. I think that's what the replay showed, although I didn't investigate it closely. But Ray Ferraro doesn't have skin in the game, and he said he pushed it under the pads. So you could say that was a pretty bad call against the Sharks, leading to directly a scoring chance, a breakaway, you know, Zetterberg taking the penalty shot. And that didn't come through. Nabby made a great save, and, you know, you go on with your lives. So, I mean, and if I can't imagine if the Sharks lost last night and Zetterberg scored on that penalty shot, I would have thought to myself, oh, the refs jobbed us, and that's why we lost. It's like, there's so many other little things that go right into a game that can lead up to that.
Sure, yeah. I love that penalty shot where Nabby stops it.
Yeah.
And what's he do right after? goes right up to the ref and keeps talking to him. Nabi stops the penalty shot and he goes, "That was a terrible call. Terrible. You know, terrible call. It's really bad. One time I meet Mike and Doug at Maggiano's. That's They're not very nice."
Hey, they didn't talk my ear off. That was at least nice of them.
That's true.
I wasn't like that guy that came up to Vlasic during dinner while he was eating. Come on, man.
Who bothers pickles while he's eating?
He's eating. Come on.
It's not okay.
Anyway.
Not
okay. Dude, I think game three is pretty much put to rest at this point. Sharks need to look forward. Blake said it best. Their best game is going to be their next game.
I have a confession.
Okay.
I have a confession, dude.
Dude? Does this have to do with Maggiano's?
No. Okay. Though I am hungry. Last night, I TiVo'd the game, and I went back, and I watched the Marleau goal probably like seven times.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
And I think I laughed for most of the last ones. I cackled.
Yeah.
Like some sort of evil banshee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was so exciting.
You take a little pride against beating a nemesis like that who have really confounded the Sharks for so many years. It's really quite nice.
I really hope it's over tomorrow, Thursday, game four. If it's not, you know, every little door that we leave open to them is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think the Sharks totally recognize that. Dan Boyle said, if any team can come back from being down 3-0, it's Detroit. Detroit has even cited that the Windsor Spitfires this year were down 3-0. Mm-hmm. And they came back and won their conference finals and then won their championship
right
in four games. So, you know, it's certainly not impossible. And they're going to be there every play is going to be huge. We're looking forward to the game.
In other news, there are other Sharks teams playing. So that would be the Worcester Sharks of the AHL, Sharks Major Farm Club. They are unfortunately behind in the series 3-2 to the Manchester Monarchs, which are the LA Kings affiliate. So good luck to them. Haven't really been able to watch those games. I think you can like buy them online.
You can on AHL Live. I've done that the last 2 years when we've been out of the playoffs.
Right,
it's
right.
Been pretty, that's sad.
Yeah.
A little sad. Bit. Yeah.
It's a little. It's
that was my outlet. I even watched some Ottawa 67s hockey.
That's bordering on pathetic.
I was watching Logan Couture, our new stud player.
That's true.
I was doing some scouting, meet.
Speaking of scouting, another good young prospect, Marek Videnski, joined the Worcester Sharks, although he hasn't suited up for them yet. This guy was playing in junior this year. He was playoff MVP for the Saskatoon Blades.
Yeah, he was traded mid-year and had a nice playoff run. And he's a guy that, I mean, he played for Slovakia in mm-hmm. the World Juniors.
Yeah.
The kid is 7th round draft pick, and he's developed really nicely. He's got some size. I don't think he's going to be projected to be a top 6 forward, but I think he's got the size and apparently some of the grit to fulfill a third line center role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's good. I'm a little surprised that he signed already, and there were some players that I thought maybe might come out a little bit sooner, but should be joining the Sharks. Like I think the other Demers, Julian Demers, mm-hmm. I think we should expect to see him. And I am surprised that Tommy Wingles, the Miami college player, hasn't mm-hmm. signed.
Right.
So we'll have to keep an eye and see how the Sharks have replenishing the cupboard here a little bit. Worcester is a very young team, and they've been doing it with kids mostly. And Danny Gruhl, who, you know, the famous Danny Gruhl with no NHL experience, but an AHL all-star.
Right. And Videnski, a 7th-round pick. A lot of other good 7th-round picks in Sharks history. It's been kind of their money pick. Justin Brown, Fraser McLaren, Joe Pavelski, Jason Demers, and John McCarthy, who saw some NHL time this year.
Nice.
All of those guys, 7th-round picks.
Very effective.
Right.
Perhaps we should trade our first.
I believe so.
For 8 7s.
Fair trade.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Why you draft one player
when you can
draft
eight
players? All right, dude. We got some emails here. We're going to Mason first. Mason has a question. At this point in the playoffs, what specific goal would you characterize as the most important to the Sharks' postseason success so far? Marleau last night, Pavelski tying game 2 in Colorado, Thornton game 2 versus Detroit, or Boyle's own goal versus Colorado?
I'm going to say the most important goal was when Solani missed the net.
Yes.
In 2004.
I remember that. Like it was
yesterday. That when it was? Was that when it was?
It's around the right year. I don't know exactly what year. I certainly remember the exact angle the puck took, missing the post on the far side. It's etched into my memory.
This is my answer. I'm going to say Joe Pavelski's goal in game two against Colorado. If we don't win that game, I don't think we're talking about the Sharks in the playoffs right now. I think that Colorado might have been able to carry over that disgusting system that they had going on, that just clogging up the Sharks. And, you know, they get one more and in Colorado, and it's night-night Sharks. So Joe Pavelski's goal in game two for me.
I'm going off the board. Mason.
Wait a second.
None of the above, Mason.
Whoa.
The answer is game four, Colorado, Dan Boyle scores a minute into the game. That's the answer. Dan Boyle makes every highlight reel in hockey land, TSN, CBC, ESPN. Dan Boyle throws the puck into his own net in overtime. He's crushed. You see the post-game interview where he's saying, I can't believe that. That's the worst thing that could ever possibly happen. What happens? Next game comes out, minute in, scores. That is the Sharks playoffs in a nutshell right there. Sharks find a way to overcome every possible adversity ever. Dan Boyle, the heart and soul of this team, really, had a hell of a game last night, by the way.
Yeah, I think he leads all defensemen in the playoffs in playoff scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not a Norris Trophy.
And he had a ton of shots, too.
He shouldn't be considered for Norris. Not at all.
But Mason, I'm going with Dan Boyle, game one. That was the statement the Sharks made to everybody else. Screw you. We're not this team anymore. We're going to bounce back against any possible adversity we can face. And they've done it time and again in this series and last series. So I'm going with that. Dude, I'm giving you this email from Bree, I believe.
That's Duncan Keith, 3 points minus two in the playoffs. That's a Norris Trophy winner for you. There you go. Dan Boyle shouldn't be considered. You're right.
Right. Yeah.
This email is from Bree. Bree, we think Bree is a woman.
Well,
It could be a French guy named Bray.
That'd be pretty unlikely, but let's go with the female.
Okay, Bree. Bree is a fairly new listener, November 2009. Welcome. And she's gone back to listening to some of the older episodes, and she was listening to Keep Them Doggies Rolling. And I guess I made a crack about Stevie Wonder playing Pin the Tail on the Donkey. And what do you call that when the liquid comes out of your nose? It's a snarf.
Spit take?
Snarf.
Yeah.
Isn't that a snarf?
It could be a snarf. I've also heard it called a spit take.
Well, spit take's when you actually, you know, you actually spit it at you.
Yeah.
This was, I think she just spit the water out.
Right.
I'm going for the snarf visual here.
Okay.
Liquid came out of her nose.
Right.
And actually all over the floor. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. It's just that good. Now that I've disgusted you all, Bree actually has given me an idea because we're approaching our 100th episode.
Yes, we are.
So I'm thinking that maybe we should go back to some of our older podcasts, some of the best ones, maybe Finding Jody Shelley Sings.
Yeah.
We've done before. We had the Christian Ehrhoff Techno Mix, I think, was on the same episode.
Yep.
We've got some great interviews. We have EJ Raddick's first interview was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other good appearances. Maybe do a daily podcast that is not new material, but some of our best of. What do you think, dude?
Sort of a best of, yeah. Sounds good.
So I'll give the credit to Bree.
That sounds
thanks,
like a good
Bree, point. And thanks for listening, and go Sharks.
Go Sharks. Thanks, Bree. Appreciate the emails from the new listeners. Always appreciate it. Here's another new one from Mark. Mark.
Oh, I love, dude, I love this one.
Okay. Well, Mark also appreciates the podcast very much.
Awesome.
And
did he snarf?
There is no snarfing story this one. And he says he hopes we continue the podcast for many years because I get bored at work and I depend on you to keep me out of trouble.
Many years.
He says,
it's been 2 years, dude.
Almost.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? We really have no life.
We've been doing the podcast for 10% of our friendship.
Yes. How about that?
That's wild.
Yes, it is. I kind of cracked when I said that, too. I'm like,
You were sentimental.
I was going through changes.
Good job.
Anyway, Mark says, keep up the good work and let me know if there's anything you need or would like to try from the Philly area. I'd like to send you some of my homemade wine when it's ready in a few weeks. It's not great, but it's not bad either. Just send me an address and I will ship it. From the Philly area, I'd say just, you know, pack up one of them Philly cheesesteaks and just send it media mail because we don't want you to pay too much. It'll get here in a couple of weeks and it'll be nice and edible then.
Dude. Oh, Mark, we're sending you an address. You're sending us some of that wine. We're going to drink it on the air. Hell, we may go blind. Is it like, I mean, is this a Cabernet or is this a nice Sauvignon Blanc or is this, it's probably like,
maybe it's just like corn liquor. It's just moonshine.
Philly rosé.
Is that what they call wine in Philly? It's just shine. It's like Dukes of Hazzard. Just a good old boy.
Mark make it in his bathtub. See, now I just want to know the real scoop here.
Right, right. As long as it has alcohol in it, I guess you can call it wine.
Did someone bite your hand while you made the wine? Because that's what happened to Dan Carcillo when he was trying to make wine by reaching into Mark Savard's mouth.
Yeah, that was Mark Savard's comeback. He said, yeah, Carcillo reached into my mouth and was trying to pull out my teeth. If that's the actual case, then I say you give Dan Carcillo a bonus because I don't know how in a hockey scrum you could think, you know what I'm going to do right now? There's all these guys. I got fists and there's guys and I have a stick. I'm actually going to reach into somebody's mouth with my fingers and see if I can pull out one of their teeth. That's the thing. That's the ticket.
If I reached into your mouth right now and tried to pull out your teeth, would you bite me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would bite you.
Okay.
So you can't really blame Savard for biting Carcillo,
but
it should be noted that Savard is a repeat biter.
That's awesome.
He bit someone else.
Yeah.
Earlier in his career.
He's like Mike Tyson.
He did. So, you know, either Carcillo knew that and is now just trying to, although it didn't sound like Savard is disputing the claim that he bit Carcillo.
Yeah, I didn't really. He said he was trying to pull out his teeth.
So, that's awesome. This is, can you imagine them lining up for the face-off?
see if you can intimidate them that way. Like chomping.
Crazy. Boston's up 3-0 in that series now as we record. Looks like it's night-night now, Flyers, which is not too surprising based on all the injuries that they have. I think we were holding on to the hope of Chris Pronger here. But that's highly doubtful that they're going to be able to pull that out. Chicago, Vancouver, 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Montreal, 2-1 Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah.
Which of those three series, which of the two really mm-hmm. has the potential to go the longest?
I definitely think it's Vancouver, Chicago. Because, I mean, that's sort of a bloodbath already. I mean, people are talking about that series. It's a rematch of last year. I know Vancouver did not like the outcome. Last year, they wanted
sure, they
to make
lost.
Some, they want to make
and
some
you know
events.
Why? Because it was the ref's fault.
Yeah.
ref's fault.
So I'm sure Vancouver wants to make it back. Because that's unfortunately a team, when you talk about playoff chokers, they haven't exactly had a lot of great playoff success here.
Well, let's hope that we're sitting here. Well, actually, that we're sitting at the radio show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we'll be talking to you next. And we'll be celebrating a series that has been concluded, because
mm-hmm.
the worst case scenario would be that we'll be talking to you Sunday night and it's 3-2 and the Red Wings have come back for two games, and I think we'll all be puckered by that point.
We'll be very scared. And details on the radio show are as follows. We're on KDOW 1220 AM, broadcasting out of Fremont from 9 to 10 on Sunday night. For those of you that called in last Sunday, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
And for those of you that didn't, why
Where
the
were
hell
you?
Not?
Where were you?
Yeah.
We need you. We need you to show up.
That's right. Like the Sharks. 1-800-516-1220 is the phone number. You can write that down now. Put it on a little post-it note next to your phone.
How about a little incentive?
Yeah. Incentive. First caller, dudes on hockey t-shirt.
Like that.
Okay. And then some other time during the episode, we may call out, hey, next caller gets a dudes on hockey t-shirt.
I like that too.
Yeah. So get some free stuff. I'm not above bribery.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So call in. It makes it fun. It makes it more fun. We can talk to each other all day about hockey, of course, because
we do.
We do, essentially.
But we want to talk to you.
It makes it more fun when you call in and join in. So do that. Dude, 100th episode's coming up soon, so we got to plan something.
Let's have a party.
Yeah, I think we should. I think I want to record the podcast somewhere, sort of like in a public place, as opposed to this dungeon I have. And maybe some people around, friends, listeners, family.
So we're on the hunt.
come by. We're on the hunt for a place in the San Jose sort of Campbell area. If you know of a place that you think would be sufficient, email us questions@dudesonhockey.com. I'm always up for new ideas. It's not a whole lot of gear we got to bring with us, but it's a little bit. We'd sort of need a table and, you know, it's just, I just use a laptop and stuff. But
so we would record an episode live there the location, and there would be beers aplenty.
Yes. And hopefully, you know, people coming up and talking to us, we put a microphone on them, special guests, who knows? Whatever.
You never know. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen at a Dudes on a Hockey recording.
Lord knows. We've been sitting here. So much weird stuff has happened. Sometimes cookies come walking.
That's right. It's happened before.
And I don't smell that happening now.
No, unfortunately not.
But thank you for the lemonade, dude.
Well, dude, you're welcome. Well, make sure to listen to us on Sunday on the radio. If not that, we'll put it on the podcast feed as always. If not that, next Wednesday, we'll be doing the podcast again, as always. Next week, same time, same place. Dude, go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.